It's Memorial Day weekend, which for many of us means a day off from work, or a barbecue, or maybe the first time you go to the beach this year. Memorial Day is considered, in many places, the unofficial start to summer. And with all the excitement that that can bring, the real meaning of the holiday tends to get lost. So we thought in this episode of the StoryCorps podcast from NPR that we'd take a second to speak to the idea behind the holiday and pay tribute to men and women who died in combat.
When a soldier is killed in action, you give them a final salute as they're loaded onto the plane.
The war was over just a few days, and they asked me to blow taps for all who died in the war.
He said, "I love you, and I'll see you soon." And those were the last words I heard from him.
This is the StoryCorps podcast. I'm Michael Garofalo. Stay with us.
Hey, it's Guy Raz here, host of How I Built This, and I have some very exciting news to share. We are hosting our first ever How I Built This one-day summit, sponsored by American Express. You'll have a chance to hear from and interact with some of the world's most inspiring entrepreneurs and founders, like Airbnb's Joe Gebbia, Katrina Lake of Stitch Fix, John Zimmer of Lyft, and many, many more. We'll have breakout sessions with experts and guides, and the summit will be a chance for you to meet other innovators and builders. The How I Built This Summit will take place on October 16th at San Francisco's Yerba Buena Center for the Arts. You can go to npr.org/summit to find out more and to get your tickets.
Subaru proudly sponsors the StoryCorps podcast. I'm Dave Isay, founder of StoryCorps, and I've got a message from them right after the show. Stick around.
Welcome back to this Memorial Day episode from the StoryCorps podcast. So Memorial Day, what is it all about? It started as something called Decoration Day after the First World War, and it was meant to commemorate the millions of people who were lost during that conflict. So today on the podcast, we're going to start with two stories from the battlefield. And we're also going to do something a little different. We're going to play these back to back for you. So I'm going to introduce both of them now and then just let the tape play. First, you'll hear from Harrison Wright, a World War II Army veteran who served in Europe. Then you'll hear from Air Force reservist Mashiri Dunbar, who served in Iraq. Here's Harrison.
I was an 18-year-old boy, and I blew the bugle in our outfit. If a young man is killed in action or dies defending his country, you blow taps over his grave. And it just, there's no way to describe it. The emotion that you feel knowing that those notes is going out. And I remember the war was over just a few days, and they asked me to blow taps for all who died in the war. We climbed this high hill. It was like a mountaintop. And my battalion was at the bottom. I blew those taps, and when I did, the men said it floated out across all that valley and said it was beautiful. They were all telling me how good it sounded and what a tribute it was to our fallen comrades.
I did two back-to-back deployments, and I used to do Patriot details, which is when a soldier is killed in action, you line up in two columns up to the back of a C-130. You give them a final salute as they're loaded onto the plane. Not that many people showed up to do it. The first time I volunteered for one, I didn't really know what it was. I thought maybe it was just going to be one or two coffins, but they just kept coming, one after the other, and then another, and then another. I don't know how many I sent home, but someone had to do it. Someone had to send them home. So I volunteered almost every time they needed people after that. Even if I just come off of a 14-hour shift. But, and we just move on to the next day. And it's just business as usual.
Do you feel guilty about that?
I guess somewhere deep down I do. Because I made it back.
That was Masheree Dunbar with her girlfriend, Barb McGlocky, who's an active duty Air National Guard medic. Before that, you heard from World War II veteran Harrison Wright. He was speaking with his grandson, Sean Guess, in Austin, Texas. When Harrison got back from Europe, he got a job at the Veterans Hospital and stayed there for 30 years. He died in February 2015. This next story comes from someone who served in Vietnam. His name is Barry Romo, and he's the youngest in a very large family. That means he grew up with nephews who were about his age. Both Barry and his nephew Robert served in the Army during Vietnam, but only one of them made it home.
Bobby was 1 month younger than me, and we were raised like brothers. I enlisted in the Army to go to Vietnam. That was my intention. And he didn't want to go in the military, but he got drafted anyway. They sent him to Vietnam, and he ended up being in my brigade. I became a lieutenant, and he begged me to help him get out of the field, but I couldn't help him. And my nephew got me out of Vietnam. One day, I got back from a patrol. They told me, "Your nephew, Robert, has been killed." He was running to save a friend of his who had been wounded in battle, and he was shot in the throat. Enemy fire was too intense, so they couldn't retrieve the body, and he was in the sun for 48 hours. A staff sergeant said, "Why don't we seal the body permanently? That way your family, they remember him as he looked like when he graduated from high school." I was then sent to escort the body home. I had white gloves on and a uniform with my medals, but I felt dirty. You know, I thought I was going to die in Vietnam, but I didn't have to go back there. I had my ticket punched by my nephew's blood. And I felt that I failed him, I failed my family. And I still feel guilty to this day.
That's Barry Romo remembering his nephew, Private First Class Robert Romo, who was killed in action while serving in Vietnam in 1968. Let's wrap up this episode with a story from a dad who lost his son in the Iraq War. Mike Stokely joined the Georgia Army National Guard right out of high school, and he was deployed to Iraq in 2005. His father, Robert, came to StoryCorps to remember the lengths he went to memorialize his son.
While he was in Iraq, at night I couldn't sleep. I used to look at the moon a lot, and I told Mike, when you see the moon, know that 8 hours later I'll see it too and I'll think about you. August 8th, 2005, he called me. I remember telling him, are you still coming home in 2 weeks? I can't take this anymore. He said, I love you, and I'll see you soon. And those were the last words I heard from him. Mike was struck by a roadside bomb and died there on the side of the road. I felt guilty I wasn't there to hold him when he died and comfort him. I felt guilty I wasn't able to protect him. So I just had to go there and see what this place looked like. I just wanted to see where my son died, and I couldn't live if I didn't go. Our security team picked us up in Amman, Jordan, and we flew into Baghdad the next day. That night, we stayed at a safe house. I sat on the roof for hours, and I just looked at the moon overhead, and I thought, I am 16 miles away. I am so close. I had an engraved piece of marble that weighed about 45 pounds. I just wanted to set it beside the road where my son breathed his last breath. The next morning, we got up very early and we cleared 4 Iraqi army checkpoints. When we got to the 5th one, it was just so dangerous they wouldn't let us through and they turned us back. So we were unable to get there. I wanted to kneel where Mike fell and touch that spot. I didn't get to do that. Maybe God had a reason why I didn't go that last mile and a half, but I did get to ride some of the same roads Mike rode. So rather than feeling sorry that I didn't get there, I'm going to be happy I got that close. I got close enough.
That's Robert Stokely. He was remembering his son, Sergeant Michael Stokely, who was killed in Iraq. Robert tried to visit the place where his son died in 2010. That's it for this episode. These stories were produced by Judd Esty Kendall, Yasmina Guerda, Katie Simon, and myself. The podcast is produced by Alicia Baitoup and me. And as always, you can find out what music we used on our website, storycore.org. Thanks to everyone who's left a review on iTunes. We really, really love hearing from you. If you haven't left one yet, or if you're not much for writing reviews, you can just rate us. We really want to know what you think. Until next time, I'm Michael Garofalo, and this has been the StoryCorps Podcast. Thanks for listening.
StoryCorps thanks our sponsor, Subaru, for supporting our podcast and bringing you this message. Subaru has made the world a better place by donating more than $120 million and over 30,000 volunteer hours to important causes. Subaru and its retailers are committed to doing their part in making a positive impact in the world because they feel it's the right thing to do. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
All summer long, Pop Culture Happy Hour can help you find the best stuff, big and small. Summer is blockbuster and indie movie season. It's TV discovery season. It's beach chair binge watching season. Find Pop Culture Happy Hour on the NPR One app or wherever you get podcasts.